I've mentioned changing how we look at our value and our values, what we value in particular. But how can we do that? And how can we do that in coming back to the roots of our femininity, the roots of our madness, the roots of the madwoman? How can we bring that back? For millennia, they have called us mad, disturbed, and even dangerous. But you know now that what they feared most was our divine feminine power. The power to rebalance our world in ways they tried to make us forget, to denounce, to ridicule, even within and amongst ourselves. Hi, and welcome to Ramblings of a Madwoman. My name is Zoe, and I'm a shamanic artist and sacred expression alchemist, uncovering and deep diving into our personal and collective soul embodiment is what I absolutely live for. Join me here in these conversations as we unravel the lunacy of our times and bring our wildest, full-feeling, and multi-dimensional selves back online. Today we're going to talk about values, and value in particular. What does value really mean in terms of how do we value ourselves? So we live in a capitalist, GDP-oriented society. Our gross domestic product is all that our society really cares about. Our governments, all the rules that have been created for us, all the structures, our education system, oh my goodness, don't get me started. All of this is leading to our value inherently, whether you're male, female, non-binary, transgender. Our value system, as it currently stands, is leading to an epidemic of self-worth problems, of depression, of anxiety, of not feeling good enough, of wondering what our purpose is really in this world, of what we're contributing, of not feeling like we're contributing enough, of feeling like we're not being enough, doing enough, all of these things. And all of this can be corrected. All of this can be redressed and rebalanced at source, because what you value can be radiated from within. And when we begin to redress that for ourselves, we redress it for everybody around us. There is a tipping point. There is a change moment. There is a tidal wave that happens, and it begins to flow out to change everything around you. So how do you feel valued right now? Be really, really honest, because this is important in how you feel about yourself and in how you judge the others around you. I'm going to give you an example, a few examples of how we are typically valued, how we typically feel valued right now. So productivity is a key one. You know, how much have you done today? How much have you achieved? How many tasks have you completed? How many people have you talked to, or sales have you converted, or all of these kind of productivity related things? In terms of housework, it could be how much, you know, washing have you done? How many dishes have you done? How much homework have you done? You know, your child, what have they done? What have they achieved? How many classes? How many lessons? How many hours of work? This is a key one right now, isn't it? If we're working from home, if we're trying out the 4-day work week, there's this assumption that you're somehow being lazy, that you're doing less. Working from home in particular as an employee, and this was obviously a big thing during the pandemic, there's a mistrust of how much you're getting done. Not the quality, but how much, how many hours are you sitting down and putting in the work? This is such an industrialized viewpoint of what our worth is when we come to our work. And I really want you to begin to explore that for yourself because it is insidious. It is everywhere. I still come across this in myself. Related to that is, what positive feedback are you expecting or hoping for or really excited and actually quite pleased to get? Like, good job. Ah, you know, well done. Gold star. Good girl syndrome is another one related to being good. So your value of being a good citizen. What does that actually mean? I'm just going to leave that one there for you to think about because it's a big one, especially obviously for women. And there is a deep dive to be done there. Another way in particular as women that we can feel valued is by making ourselves small. Ironic, right? There's this feeling that the smaller we are in our bodies, but also in how we show up. So if we fit into a certain mold of society that we are, you know, bubbly and effervescent, but not too much, not too loud, not too chattery, and yet also not too quiet, we're just kind of, we're keeping ourselves in the middle. We're not standing out and being the weird one, but we're also not shy and retiring, being, you know, sitting in a corner. We're not too loud. Like, how small do you make yourself by wearing clothes which are not too wacky, by having hair that isn't too like messy and wild and crazy, by wearing makeup that is too much or too little, by the way that you move, the way that you interact in the world, like walking down the street and also with your friends at the shops, etc., etc. So are you making yourself small in order to feel valued because you fit in? And lastly, the biggest one of all is how much money. How much money can you bring in? How much money can you obtain? How much money can you create in order to buy things that you can fill your house and your life with? And of course, this is the crux, right, of a capitalist system. And our value, our self-worth is so tied to that. It can't not be in this present age. And we need to uncouple that bit by bit because it is, especially now as our economic systems are collapsing and 99% of the population are struggling financially in one way or another. Obviously, there is a spectrum, there is a range right across the board. And you might be actually quite comfortable, but you know, you're still being squeezed. There are more and more and more and more and more people who are not managing to pay rent, to pay their mortgage, to pay basic bills. And this has to change. Something here has to change because not only is that a struggle at the basic level of our survival needs, but it is eroding our self-worth on a cataclysmic scale. And one way that we can begin to change that, of course, is to begin to change how we value ourselves in relation to money. And I'm going to be looking at money a little bit later in this series because it's such a huge one. I've mentioned changing how we look at our value and our values, what we value in particular. But how can we do that? And how can we do that in coming back to the roots of our femininity, the roots of our madness, the roots of the mad woman? How can we bring that back? What is it about the feminine and what the feminine has traditionally, maybe not even traditionally, but just naturally, the feminine has naturally brought to the world that is not, still not valued. So I'm talking about the innate characteristics of caring, of particularly of unconditional love and nurture. You know, those energies of like pouring into things that we make for ourselves and our family. When we're making a meal or we're doing our child's hair or we're making a home, You know, those energies of love and nurture and caring, how valuable are they? Really? Like, if we didn't have that in the world, where would society be? Where would humanity be without that? And yet there is nothing in our external value system that says that's important, that's valued. A big one, obviously, is our wisdom. So again, I'm going to look at this in more detail another time, but wisdom versus knowledge. You know, I'm an academic. I have been for decades immersed in the system and the glory, I've got to say. I really enjoy being immersed in books, in knowledge, in, you know, information, like the abundance of information that you can source and dive into and cross-reference. It's really fulfilling. As a human, you know, we want to explore things intellectually. And yet, there is a cost to that, because what has happened in this supposed age of enlightenment is that we have said, well, intelligence, intellect, that intellectual curiosity and exploration, that knowledge piece is so important that it is superior to wisdom, to our innate wisdom. And that wisdom that is actually ancestral, it has been passed down through generations of our lineage. And this is something that we can tap into so deeply. You know, it bubbles up anyway, naturally. When you have those urges, like I'm, you know, going down the road and I'm on my usual route to school, but actually I have this feeling that I'm going to turn off this way because something tells me there's an accident or there's a delay. And you only find out afterwards. That intellectual piece only happens afterwards. But the wisdom is there, that urge. I think we can all relate to that. I'm going to call this person. I don't know why, but something tells me. And they said, oh, I was thinking about you. I was just about to call you. It goes so much deeper when we really begin to move back into rhythm with our feminine cycles, with our natural rhythms, you know, moving away from the masculine diurnal rhythms and that whole expectation of getting up with the sun and having all of the energy at the beginning of the day, doing all of your like most important intellectual, but also your most important kind of movement exercise at the beginning of the day, because that's when you're supposed to have the most energy, and then radiating throughout the day until you, you know, want to fall asleep, go to bed at night. That is a man's rhythm. That is the masculine rhythm. And the feminine, we dip and dive over the month. We have natural rhythms of our own. And gosh, how amazing would it be to actually come back and value those for ourselves? Because that is the normal. That is what is normal for us. In terms of wisdom, I would also like to visit our intangible or intuitive senses, those things that we can really tap into, our clear senses, if you like, call them what you will, but there is a deep wisdom in that when we can tap into the ethereal, the energies around us, the waves of connection between ourselves and nature, but also each other. That again is something that is considered still to this day woo-woo, out there, weird, witchy, bonkers, mad, you know, all of it. So how can we bring that back? How can we really begin to value that for ourselves as well? Lastly, I want to talk about creativity here. Because, you know, I am an artist, I am a writer, I am like innately creative. I am always creating stuff in my head, if not with my hands and everything else. It is just in me. And yet, for around 40 years, I suppressed it. You know, I restricted it mainly to intellectual creativity because that is the one thing that felt most valued, that I could apply, still be creative, but it was kind of, you know, deemed to be more acceptable. I denied my embodied creativity, my really expressive creativity, because it wasn't valued. It isn't valued. It's deemed to be indulgent. What's the point of it? You know, there's no tangible point to making art. There's no intellectual point to making art. And yet, where would we be in a world without art, without the visual experience of art in all of its many forms? And I have to say, there's also, you know, I'm talking about music, I'm talking about film, I'm talking about TV shows, I'm talking about acting, I'm talking about like the art of really cooking and baking and so many things that we can create that don't fit the mold of the 9-to-5 productive stereotype of sitting at your desk, tapping out stuff, having a tangible result at the end. That is not the life of a creative, typically. One of the hardest parts, honestly, in really embracing your creativity and really valuing it for yourself is learning to create without expectation, without a defined outcome. Because when you put yourself in that box of saying, well, this is what I have to make, and this is what I will make, and these are the steps of how I'm going to do it, that strangles creativity. It strangles the feminine, intuitive, natural urges. And an example of this is I used to, whenever I had like an interview or a podcast or even sat down to write something, I would create notes. I would create a plan. Like, this is what I'm going to talk about. These are the points I need to hit. Sometimes I even, actually quite often, I even put the phrases, like certain phrases or words that I really wanted to use, because I knew that when it came to actually doing the, you know, the podcast or the piece of writing, I would forget those in the moment. I would just be in the moment and my brain would kind of do a fart and I would lose it. Now, what I've learned to do is be in that energy. Just be really in it. And in that energy of flow, of intuitive wisdom, of intuitive trust in particular, there is so much trust in creativity. There needs to be. And that is not something that our external values system really understands or encourages or cares about at all. So we have to bring it back for ourselves. How can we really nurture and value that? Are there any more ways that you really would love to honor your value in this world, especially at this time? I would love to hear, like, are there any things that I've missed? Are there any insights, or how do you feel about the things that I've covered so far? Do they hit a spot with you? Let me know in the comments. I would love to create a conversation about this because it is so important. If you've enjoyed this episode, I would love you to, first of all, check out my book. It's Written in the Stars. You can buy it on Amazon and all good bookshops, and of course on my website, which is zoekmfoster.com/books for the book. And if you're really, really fascinated by this exploration into your own values, embodiment, creativity, expression, messiness, humanity, cosmic humanity, I would love to invite you into my Lunacy Circle. My monthly sacred circle allows us to explore our embodied, sacred, expansive, connected expression. It is so juicy and delicious, and it's all about learning to connect with pleasure, awe, wonder, all of it. Yummy. For more juicy topics like this, hit the subscribe button so that you always get my episodes, and like and share this video. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you loved this episode, please share on social media and tag me at Zoe K. M. Foster, and consider leaving a review on your podcast platform. For more shamanic artistry and sacred expression alchemy, head over to zoekmfoster.com, and remember, stay wild and true.